And if you remember, but when we started our series in 1 Timothy, my plan was to go through 1 and 2 Timothy. Ultimately, my plan originally was to get to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where I was going to start preaching. I was just going to preach one text out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then I thought, well, let's get the context. I went to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then I thought, well, let's go back to 1 Timothy. But ultimately, I wanted to preach 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where God had laid it on my heart probably a couple months ago. And it's ironic of how appropriate 2 Timothy chapter 3 is in relation to what happened this past week with the Supreme Court. And so I don't believe that was an accident. I believe that was part of God's plan for us to see this. But have you ever been in such a deep sleep that when you woke up at times, you weren't sure if that was really happened or if it was just a dream, and you struggle with, like, did that really just happen or not? And sometimes it's just such a great sleep, but the dream was like almost too good to be true, or sometimes too bad to be true. And this week kind of felt like that, didn't it? Where you kind of wake up and you think, did I just hear right? Did we just normalize something that God considered abomination? And sometimes your head spins and you wonder what is going on. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 reminds us that we're in the last days. It reminds us that time is getting shorter and shorter all the time. And we've looked at, because time is short, you need to do this. Today, because time is short, we need to stay grounded. Stay grounded in the Word of God. So he says this. This know also, that in the last days, fierce, difficult, harsh, dangerous, or as it may say in your Bible, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, help us to not be caught off guard by the fact that we are living in the last days. May we not be caught off guard by the fact that evil will continue to get worse and worse, that the things of God are going to continually be mocked. It's part of the day and age in which we live. Lord, we've been so spoiled by our country, the greatest country that's ever been around. And yet even our great country is seeing the effects of sin going unchecked. And so I pray, Lord, that as we try to make sense of the world in which we live and make sense of this passage, I pray, Lord, that you would give us more of a burden and passion to live for you than ever before in our lives. And so we'll thank you for that. We pray now that we'd have a great day as we spend a few minutes around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's writing, and if you remember last week, he's writing on the heels of talking about false teachers. And in the midst of the fact that we're living in difficult last days, we're living amongst a bunch of false teachers, and it's hard to turn on preachers on the TV or on the radio and wonder, is this guy telling me the truth or is he lying to me? There's all kinds of false teaching that is going out there. But he reminds us now, in light of all that's going out there, he says, in the last days began when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. The last days began with that. So we're living in the last days. So we're much closer to the last days than certainly Jesus was in his day. As he died and rose again, now here we are almost 2,000 years closer to the end. And he says, in the last days, it's going to get worse. It's going to get more fierce. It's going to get more difficult, more dangerous. And why is that? Well, he says this. Because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Man is going to continually become more and more self-centered all the time. Now, were they not self-centered in the Old Testament? Well, of course they were. But it's going to continue to get worse. And now we even see today people are promoting the fact that we need to love ourselves more. And that is all mentality and all the commercials that are out there. Listen, it's all about you. It's all about your pleasure. It's all about your rights. We're going to be covetous. The world will be covetous. It's what I want. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Supreme Court blasphemed God this week. Disobedient to parents. We see that in our society as a whole. Unthankful. Does that bother you that people are unthankful today? They're unthankful. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. Now, that without natural affection, I believe, goes to how can a mother abort a baby? That's unnatural. But that has become the accepted norm today. That has become a woman's right. But it's unnatural. And anyone that's had an abortion would tell you that there's something not right even after that, and the guilt feelings of that. Without natural affection. It's not natural for parents to abandon their children. It's not natural for children to abandon their parents. And I see that all the time in nursing homes where they say nobody ever visits this person or that person. And sometimes I hear, and their son only lives a few miles away, and he never visits his mom or his dad. That's not natural affection. It is not natural affection for a man to be in love with a man or a woman to be in love with a woman. But in the last days, God says it's going to become more and more the accepted norm without natural affection. Ireland was the first nation to recognize homosexual marriages, and that was just a few weeks ago. Now, we've done it, but we're not the first nation. There is a nation in Israel, Sodom and Gomorrah, and they recognized it, they embraced it, and God did away with them. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but God will certainly, He will certainly judge our nation in His timing and His way. But in the last days, God warned us that this is going to happen, so we shouldn't be shocked and say, how could this happen? We're living in the last days. Man is evil. Man is naturally bent away from God. Man is naturally rejecting the Word of God. It is going to happen. Man will be truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means there'll be no self-control, fierce. Oh, and here it is. Man will be a despiser of that which is good. Why would man despise good? Well, that's because we're in the last days. And to despise good is something that man will continue to do. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, and here's the kicker. In light of all of that, they're going to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Most everybody that you were to talk to today that would applaud the same-sex ruling this week, most everyone would say, well, how's your relationship with God? They would say, my relationship with God is great. Form of godliness. I'm right with God. I'm good. I can wrestle with that in the Bible, and I can say it's okay. Because you know what? You can prove anything from the Bible if you want to. You can't be right. But we can twist this Bible to make it believe what we want it to believe. And so they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So Christian, let me tell you, don't let the world's wickedness rattle your faith. The world will get worse and worse. And by the way, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I don't know if you saw, and I think I put it out yesterday, that one of the Supreme Court justices basically said, churches, you don't have to worry about this. This is not going to affect you, because we are telling you that we have given you the right not to worry about that until we change our mind, because we have all the power. How sad. That decision this week will affect our church one day. I don't know how, I don't know when. But most likely, we will one day lose our tax-exempt status as a church. And you know what? If it comes to that, we have to take our stand and say, so be it. Because we cannot compromise this book and make it align with anything that is preposterous and ungodly. We have to follow the Word of God because the Word of God is clear. This is what we have to do. And Paul is writing to Timothy in a wicked world in which he lived and said, Timothy, you have to understand the wickedness in your world. It is something that is going to take place. So stand fast on the Word of God. Don't abandon the Word of God and just be prepared for wickedness. And if you have seen this, the horrendous, ungodly commercials for this new movie or this new sitcom that is coming out, I'm not sure when, Impastor. What blasphemous stuff is coming out of that show? I hope none of us will even give it a minute of our time. God said in the last days, people will be blasphemers. And I can't imagine how people do this kind of stuff, but we got to realize that there are people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God if you do. And we need to continue to pray that God will change hearts and lives, but we need to make a stand and say, you know what? We've got to continue to live for God. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. The word silly means those who don't have a lot of discernment. Laden with sins means they're overwhelmed with guilt from sins that they've committed in the past. And they lead them away to diverse lusts. Back in that day, there were many who were saying to other people that, you know, I know you've messed up in the past, but you know what? God wants you to be right with him. And they would actually lead some of these women into ungodly relationships in the name of Christianity or whatever their religion was. And people were falling for it because they didn't have discernment, because they didn't know the Word of God as well as they should have known the Word of God. You know what? That's one of the keys. You and I need to know the Word of God and stand on the Word of God. Have a response. Again, people are going to ask you, so what do you think about the ruling? Folks, I have seen some unbelievable comments from Christians on Facebook who are saying all kinds of things that I scratch my head and say, do they not understand what the Bible says? But they're trying to make this, well, it's not that big a deal. It is that big a deal. God said it's an abomination to him. And we just said, and that's normal. And we've got to realize, and not we, obviously, six unintelligent, unelected, ungodly men and women made that decision for us. Our nation didn't make that decision. And so we need to understand that we need to have a response. God tells us, give a response. People are going to ask you a question about your faith. What do you believe about this? Be loving, but be firm. This is what the Bible says about homosexuality. This is what the Bible says about marriage, and we have to give an answer to them. Verse 7 says, they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he reminds us, we need to have the knowledge of the truth in our words. But don't let the wickedness of the world throw our hands up and say, you know what, I'm just done with serving God. Because if that's how the world is going to be, then you know what, if God couldn't stop that, could God have stopped that? In a heartbeat. But unfortunately, God has let, not unfortunately, it's part of God's plan. God has let man make their own decisions. Just like he let you make your own decisions, he's let me make my own decisions. He is not going to force us to follow him. And so too, God is going to let man make their own decisions. And man, by nature, is anti-God. You, one day, were anti-God. You may not remember that day, but there is a day that you were anti-God. If you're a human being, you were one day, you were anti-God. And praise God, I look back to the day where I recognized who my Savior was, I embraced him, and I was no longer anti-God. But I'm not always pro-Bible. Are you? There are some days when we don't like what the Bible says and we don't follow what the Bible says. So if I don't and you don't, is it any wonder that the ungodly who do not know Jesus Christ won't follow God? That's why he reminds us in the last days it's going to continue to get worse. Perilous, difficult, dangerous, fierce times will come. That's why we need to be grounded in this book, grounded in the faith of God. And we need to love what the Word of God says. Even when we don't agree with it, we've got to say, that's right and I'm wrong. And I need to bring my life under the authority of the Word of God and say, even though I may not want to do it, even though it's struggle for me to do that, I'm going to follow the word of God and put him first in all things. Look at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, back in the Old Testament, so do also these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. God reminds us that there were people in the Old Testament who opposed Moses, Jannes and Jambres, false prophets, magicians, and God dealt with them. And others along the way, God dealt with them. There was a time when God opened the earth up and swallowed some. God killed others with plagues. And God deals with it. Here's the thing. Verse 9 reminds us, listen, we are living in a wicked, dangerous world, but guess what? Judgment will come. He promises that. Now, should we be excited about that? No. Because judgment is coming, we need to have a burden and a passion for the lost around us. Now, I feel horrible for those six justices that voted for this. My prayer is not that they will die and spend eternity in hell. My prayer is that they will one day embrace Jesus Christ. They all six believe probably that they have a relationship with God, but they're not saved. The most wicked person that you know in your life, the most wicked person on your block, in your family, where you work, you may look at them and say, they're just wicked. God, just deal with them. But we need to pray, God, get a hold of their heart. We need to have a burden for the lost. Because God tells us that judgment is coming. They will proceed no farther. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. One day they will be judged for all of eternity in the lake of fire if they do not bow their knee to Jesus Christ now. And so we can take comfort in the fact that what's going on in our world, though it's wicked, that's not the end. There's a much better day coming. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to usher in the eternal kingdom. And I get to live with him forever and ever. No pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no problem. And I trust everyone here is looking forward to that day too. Till then, we're going to live in a wicked world. We're going to live in a world where people do not want to do that which is right. Could revival happen in America? Absolutely it could. But if it doesn't, we need to continue to do what's right. Don't let the world's wickedness rattle and shake your faith. Many people have done that. We're just studying Sunday school. Elijah, he let the world's wickedness rattle his faith. And he said, I quit. And he ran. Jonah let the world's wickedness rattle his faith. And he quit. And he ran. And he said, I give up. There's another one. Go, if you would, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, in the tabernacle in Israel, they had a worship leader, one who would lead in the worship and the singing and the praising, and one who wrote songs that they would sing. His name was Asaph, chief worship leader. Psalm 73 relates to us this tremendously godly man. But he says this, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as ever a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He says, you know what happened to me? He says, I almost ran on God. I almost quit. Not just quit leading the worship to go sit and let somebody else lead the worship. He said, I almost quit my faith. Not that he could lose his salvation, but he said, I almost gave up. I almost said, God, I'm done with you. Because I don't like the fact that the wicked are doing everything and they're getting away with it, and the righteous person is not. The righteous person does right, and he gets the short end of the stick every time in Israel. He said, it's not right. Why? Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, they become proud. Pride compasseth them about as chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, speaking wickedly concerning oppression, and they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Did you notice that the White House was adorned with rainbow colors? They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are they, the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And so Asaph, the chief worship leader, he said, you know what? I have cleansed my hands my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He said, you know what? It's what I did with my relationship with it was just worthless. No point in me getting right with God. He had fallen, hadn't he? For all day long that have I been plagued and chastised every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the children of the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I was so burdened, so hurt, so frustrated, so angry at God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. He said, all I could see is the wickedness prosper. My eyes were on the wicked, the ungodliness, all the brutal stuff that was going on in this world. That's all I could see. I took my eyes off of God and put them on people and things and stuff, and I was ready to throw in the towel until I went to the sanctuary of God. Until I got face to face with God. I got on my knees. I got on my face before God. And I saw him in all his glory. And I recognized who my God was. And I realized that this was temporary. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How are they brought to desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus was my heart grieved. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Notice this, verse 26. My flesh and my heart are completely exhausted, is what that word faileth means. Have you been there? Been completely exhausted physically? Probably because you're completely exhausted spiritually. He said, but this, my God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, for I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Christian, are you completely exhausted spiritually? Ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel, ready to say it's not worth it. God doesn't know, God doesn't care. Why would God allow this? I've been there, you've been there. Maybe you're there now. God reminds us back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they shall proceed no further. You say, yeah, but they just went pretty far. And God says, I know. But there comes a point where I will not let them go any further. I don't know where that is. I don't know where that line is. But God has a line in the sand, and he says, you know what? If they cross that, they will be judged. I fully believe that we're going to see some judgment in the world. because of this. I believe God is going to do what he needs to do. It's going to take place one day. I don't know when, I don't know how. That's his business. Until then, I need to stay faithful to him and continue to do what I need to do spiritually to walk with God. That's what all of us need to do. We need to be lights in a dark world. It's getting darker all the time. And God reminds us of this. Colossians 1, verse 9 says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." That's what God wants, to be filled with the knowledge of his will. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." In light of what we're seeing in this world, are you and I, are we walking worthy of the Lord? We can't worry about what everybody else is doing. I got to worry about what I'm doing. You have to worry about what you are doing. But God is reminding us that judgment will come. One day, every one of us will stand in judgment with God. Whether the great white throne judgment, where God will judge everyone at the great white throne judgment, and he will cast them all at the end of that judgment into the lake of fire. But I do believe some will face more severe punishments for eternity than others. Although hell will be horrendous for everybody. But folks like the Supreme Court justices who had this incredible opportunity and power, if they do not bow their hearts to Christ before it's too late, I believe they will think about that judgment that they made forever and ever and ever. But you and I also will stand before another judgment seat. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're saved, you're not going to be judged for your sin. That was dealt with at the cross. But have I walked worthy? And if I've walked worthy of the Lord in my daily routine, in my daily life, God will judge us, but he's going to judge our good works, all the good things you've done. And if what you did was good, and you did it for the right motive, we receive a reward, which ultimately I believe we get to cast back at his feet as an act of worship. But there is going to be many things, many good things that we've done where he's going to say, well, yeah, that was good, but you did not do that with the right motive. There is pride in your heart. You did that to be seen of man. Or you were just going through the motions and you put no thought into that at all. And so God is going to judge us. So he's reminding us, walk worthy. You say, I know, but it's so hard to walk worthy of the Lord in such a wicked, dark world. It always has been. And it always will be. But he's warning us, don't let the world's wickedness rattle your faith. Don't let it get to the point where you just say, you know what, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. Because if God is sovereign, he could have stopped this. Yes, he could have. But you know what? He's going to get more glory by us responding to this the right way than by living in a world like America, living in a country where everybody just plays along and has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. So let's make sure that we don't let the world rattle our faith. But look at verse number 10. The second thing he says is, don't let your problems cause you to question God's goodness. Paul says this, but thou, in fact, he used that phrase, but thou, three times in this passage, verse 10, verse 14, and chapter 4, verse number 5. But thou, Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine, what I believe, my manner of life, how I live, my purpose. You have fully known my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. You've seen my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Christian, don't ever get to the point where you think that because I'm living for God, because I'm following his word, that life ought to turn out better for me because I'm following God's word. God doesn't promise us that in his word. In fact, if you look at the Apostle Paul's life, who's writing to this, Paul is saying, listen, don't let the world's wickedness rattle your faith. But secondly, don't let your problems cause you to question God's goodness. God is good all the time. And all the time, we need to believe that. God is a God of character whose character is only good. But you say, but you don't know some of the things I'm going through in my life. Well, it's interesting because Paul is writing the book of 2 Timothy from a dungeon, probably weeks away from having his head cut off. And he knows that. Horrible sanitation. And Paul, here's the thing. Paul did nothing wrong. Nothing. He's living for God, serving God to the best of his ability, but because what he is doing is contrary to what the government says he is supposed to do, and that's the only thing he's done wrong, is he's preaching the gospel. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. And for that, he was cast into a dungeon. Is that going to come to that in our country? Probably. In our lifetime, maybe not. But it could. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know. But there will be ramifications. Just look at the fact of the people who have said, I'm not going to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Look at what happened to them. How quickly it can turn. About a week ago, everywhere in our country, people were flying the Confederate flag proudly. No problems. Now you're an extreme racist if you have a Confederate flag. How did that happen like that? Because we have a media that hates this book. A media that is bent on doing everything they can, not that I'm supporting the Confederate flag, but you just see the power of the media. Not that I'm bashing the Confederate flag either, but you see what the media can do. The media is able to change, and now everybody running for office is trying to head for cover. Even NASCAR wants to get rid of the Confederate flag. And there is no more hillbilly rednecks than NASCAR people. And even they're going to get rid of the Confederate flag. You can't even buy a Dukes of Hazzard car anymore. They've taken it off that. God reminds us that Paul is saying, listen, don't let your problems cause you to question the goodness of God. God is good. God will help you through this. And look at what Paul said. Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, hold on. Stay grounded in the word of God. Keep doing what's right. He says, you've watched my life. You have fully known what I believed. Timothy said, yeah, I know. I know everything you believed. You've known how I lived. Yeah, I've seen how you lived. You've known my purpose, why I do what I do, yes. You've seen my faith, yes. You've seen my long-suffering, my patience with people, yes. My charity, my agape love, my patience. You've seen every persecution I've been through. And then he says this. What persecutions, verse 11, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So what's Paul saying? Is he saying that every time I was almost persecuted, God let me out of it? Because he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Here's the key. Paul did not say, from them all. Paul wasn't delivered from all of his persecutions. But while he went through persecutions, he said, you know what? God delivered me. God brought me through them. God gave me the grace to handle it when I was being stoned. He gave me the grace to handle it when I was being beaten. And you know what? He's brought me through every one of them. Brought me out of them. I'm not still going through every problem I've ever been through. He brings me through them. He gives me the grace. And it was just going to be a short time. He's going to go through another persecution where they were going to bring him and they were going to take his head off. And guess what? God brought him out of that as well. They took his head off and he went to heaven. So Paul could simply say, listen, I know I'm going to die for my faith, but so be it. God will give me sufficient grace for everything I go through. Whether it's persecution, whether it's people mocking me, whether it's people that don't get along with me, I'm going to continue to do what's right and serve God. And he's telling us, you've watched me, I'm asking you to do it too. Don't let your problems cause you to question the goodness of God. God is good. That's his character. That's all he can do. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus, maybe, possibly, you might someday have persecution. Somebody said. He said, if you live godly, expect persecution. Now, praise God, most of us grew up in a country where freedom of religion, freedom of speech, they just this week took away our freedom of speech. They had a good reason, they said. But they're going to take away our freedom of speech. They've already tried to take away the Second Amendment. They're still coming after that one. And they're slowly telling us, we're taking away your rights. One by one, your rights are going away. And we will tell you what rights you have, which is what was going on in Paul's day. But you know what? There's a lot of godly people living in Paul's day under Nero saying, here I stand. I will continue to live for God. Some persecution among the church, it's not always a bad thing either. Every time a church has been under persecution, the church has thrived. Why? Because God, out of them all, can get us through it. But he reminds us again, verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But thou, Timothy, continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in it. Continue in what? The scriptures. Make sure that you're in the Word of God daily. Continue in the things which you've learned and what you've been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. And he learned them from his mother. He learned them from his grandmother. He learned them from Paul. And think about where you learned the scriptures. That's why we have a VBS each year. Because some young people, they don't have a mom and dad opening the Bible to them. And once a week, or once a year, we have a time when we bring them together and they hear about the Word of God. And there are some kids I meet who are now adults who said, I came to your church at VBS. I came to your Sunday school. You picked me up a long time ago. And they're not doing anything now, but they still remember some of the things that they were taught. And that's encouraging. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out from God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why did God give us the Word of God? So that the man of God, hopefully that's you or me, may be perfect, may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Mature. Thoroughly furnished, which means the Word of God affects every part of my life. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about this. He says, doctrine is to tell us what is right. Reproof tells us what is not right. Correction tells us how to get right. And instruction tells us how to stay right. Folks, this book is the only thing that truly points north. This is the compass. This is the instruction manual for life. And if we follow this book, God will give us direction. God will give us wisdom. He'll give us insight. He will help our life to turn out a whole lot better than if we didn't follow this book. And so we need to recognize that we live in a world, because there is evil, because there are evil people, we're going to have problems. We're going to suffer persecution. Be prepared for that. It will come. And some of you have faced that already by people who just don't want to be your friends because you take a stand on the Bible. When you go out to dinner with them, you won't drink, and they're like, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't come with us anymore. You won't curse. You won't tell dirty jokes. And you, this is a little persecution. But stand fast. Stay grounded in this book. Paul is writing to Timothy because he knew Timothy was struggling. He's looking around and he's saying, like Elijah, am I the only one? And where you work, you may be the only one. In your neighborhood, you may be the only one. But look around, there's others. Praise God. And there's other churches. And there's other believers. And we need to continue to recognize that God is in absolute control. As we look at the wickedness of the world, it would be easy for us to resent God, to resent the Bible. Why is there a devil anyway? You ever ask that question? God, why don't you just destroy the devil and we wouldn't have the problems? Well, we may not have as many problems, but I've got a wicked heart, and I can get in all kinds of trouble without the devil. And so can you, and so can every one of us. See, our problems are not just the devil. Our problem is not wicked people. My biggest enemy is right here. I struggle with me. And I need to constantly go back to the Word of God and get my compass realigned every day. Every day. Many times throughout the day. Because just yesterday, our power went out again. And I'm not sure why, but you know, I set my alarm to get up this morning and got in bed and just about to fall asleep. And I looked up and the clock said like 4:11. So that's not going to work. So I had to get up, and it took me a while, but I finally figured out how to change the time on the clock. But it would have done me no good to have my alarm going off at 5 o'clock if the correct time wasn't up. And so, too, I need to constantly make sure that my life is aligned with this book. There are all kinds of Christians in this world. Some are true believers, some aren't. But they tell you it's okay to live a certain way. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. God won't mind. It's not that big a deal. But if you and I would get back to what does the Bible say, there's a lot of stuff that's a big deal that a lot of Christians are doing. And we need to say, if they are, that's between them and God. But I've got to follow this book. You know, I've got to make sure that my life is under the authority of God's Word. You know, when you watch a movie, and it may be a suspenseful movie, you watch it and you're on edge, you're not sure how it's going to end, and then finally, hopefully, you know, there's bad guys through it all, and then the good guy in the end wins. If you were to watch that movie again, you're probably not as tense through the whole thing because you know how it ends. Folks, we know how it ends. We know what God says about the end. One day Jesus Christ is coming back. One day God is going to destroy all of the wicked. And the unbeliever will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And the believer gets to spend eternity in heaven with him forever and ever. And we know the end. And so if we know the end, it helps us to not be as tense in the middle, which is right now where we're at. And some days we look at what's going on in the world and we watch the news and we look at what's coming out of Congress and we get all uptight. You look at the problems that you're facing in your personal life and maybe things going on at work and things going on in your home and things and we get uptight. But Paul's reminding us, keep looking at the end. God knows what he's doing. God is in control. God is sovereign. God is good. Don't let the world's wickedness rattle your faith. And certainly don't let your problems cause you to question God's goodness. We serve a great God. We must stay grounded upon the Word of God. And as Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You need to have such a commitment to this book that you spend time in it every single day. It's your spiritual compass. It's your spiritual instruction manual for how you're supposed to live your life. I know we don't like instruction booklets. We tend to open stuff up, throw it away, and try to put it together. And some people are okay doing that. But let me tell you, none of us can do that with life. Every one of us needs this book. It is the inspired Word of God, and this is the final answer for how we're to live. Lord, I thank you for your Word, and I pray, Lord, that we would do our our best this week to saturate our minds with the Scriptures. Lord, may we be in it every single day, listening to it, applying it. Lord, may you challenge us with it. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Encourage us where we need encouragement. Lord, we're frustrated with what we're seeing in the world. But Lord, may we not worry about what others are doing, but may we make sure that we are where we need to be personally. May we take inventory of our own personal lives. May we let the Spirit of God speak to us. And Lord, if there's any here today, I pray that if they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day where they would call upon you. Lord, for a Christian who's down and discouraged, I pray that today you'd uplift them, help them to rest in you, trust your sovereignty, trust your goodness. And so I pray that today you would just give us a great afternoon thinking through some of the things we just read. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 189, Calvary, covers it all. And if you remember that day when you went to Calvary and embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a blessing that is. If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ, you need to embrace Him. I'd love to meet you down front. We can have somebody help you understand what it means to be a child of God. Let's stand as we sing, Calvary covers it all.